Haiti, even as the U.S. says U.S. citizens should leave Haiti for their safety. We just have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, we see Biden in the first month that he came in deporting more Haitians in 1 month than Trump had done during his entire presidency. So the Biden administration has very much been deporting Haitians hundreds at a time per month since it's been established, including, right, sending back unaccompanied minors. At the same time, as you said, the U.S. Embassy in Haiti is closed until 2025 because of security issues, kidnappings, massacres, etc. And Biden now has a parole program, which is really a sort of a cover for a workers program, right, that Haitians can come in for 2 years and work, and they're ending up in Amazon warehouses, on farms in New England. And so you see that there is this hypocrisy in the Biden administration
towards Haiti.
Mamira
Prosper, we're going to have to leave it there. Assistant professor at University of California, Irvine, and Monique Kleska, Haitian pro-democracy activist. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're in the middle of our fall membership drive. Help us meet our $55,000 goal by making a contribution today. KBOO's organic, free-range, independent programming is only possible with your support. Give now at kboo.fm/give. You can also donate by texting the word KBOO to 44321 or by mailing a check to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Our members continue to fertilize community radio every time they give.
Our goal is to create an atmosphere devoid of genre. A place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition. Tune into Passing Sound, the first Saturday of each month at 10 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM. Or KBOO.FM. Where we make musical structures for the listener to enjoy.
Hi, this is Peter Himmelman. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 8:01 a.m. Next up is Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Roland.
Center cannot hold. This is somebody else's dream. Out of the nighttime, lifelines glow in the dark. Order falls apart. Nothing is as it seems, and all of the like minds who reel from this blow to the heart turn to each other on the night of the supermoon. There was nowhere left to run. To do or die. Time for grieving. Time for saying goodbye. Time for leaving the lands of the beautiful light. As we gaze into the future on the night of the supermoon.
This is Wednesday Talk Radio, and I am your host, Paul Rowland. I'll be here until 9 o'clock this morning. I am flying solo here all by my lonesome. I've got Ty looking at me, running the board through the window in the air room. I'm here in Production One, which probably doesn't mean a lot to you. If you've never been to our studios, of course, you can get involved in KBOO as a volunteer. You can run the board like Ty's doing. Maybe you can get your own program like I'm doing. Yeah. And we do look for some, you know, new perspectives, new voices on our airwaves, in our station. This is a largely volunteer-operated in terms of the on-air content, other than the nationally syndicated stuff, like, of course, Democracy Now!, which you just heard, and other programming we run. But you know, the musical DJs are almost all local, either live or pre-produced. And we do have this live talk show from 8 to 9 a.m. every weekday morning. If you're a new listener, this may be fresh to you. You may want to keep on tuned in. You may want to call in and contribute at 503-231-8187. But, of course, before we do get started, this is our fall membership drive. From September 23rd until October 28th, we are about a quarter of the way through it, and we're about a quarter away through our fundraising. We've made about a little over $13,000 of $55,000, which is pretty good. And, yeah, that's what we're all about here in terms of keeping the station on the air. We are a listener-sponsored, supported station. We exist because people who like the station, love the station, listen to the station, a certain percentage, never quite enough. That's why we have to come on the air and ask for your support. But, you know, people step up and donate to the station to keep us going and thriving and hopefully growing. I'd like to thank David, Kristen, Victor, and Sandra who've supported us in the last few hours. You can join them by going to our website at kboo.fm, click on donate, or you can just do kboo.fm/give. We do have a double your donation one-to-one match up to $14,000 on offer right now. So whatever amount you give, it will be doubled thanks to a generous group of KBOO donors just like you. So that would double what you are able to give to the station and help us get to our goal of $55,000 faster. You can also text the letters KBOO to 44321 on your mobile device. Text KBOO to 44321. Or you can mail it in to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, where I am right now, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And we do really appreciate your support. And I really appreciate people who listen to my program and to the other programs here. I appreciate people who call in. I'd love to have a lively conversation today. I did not say that we started off by listening to Liza Gilkison. Very potent song there. I may quote a few of her lyrics. That's called Lifelines from her Secularia release from a few years back. One of our finest singer-songwriters, in my humble opinion. When I had a folk show, I played her a lot. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? So this is membership drive. So I think it's a good time to talk about KBOO, amongst other things. I will open it up to what you want to talk about. But, you know, what do you want from KBOO? What are your expectations and visions of a community radio station? How do you feel KBOO's matching up to your vision and expectations? Anything we could change? What do you like about KBOO? I I guess I just want to say, I know I've talked about some about my own personal history, my activist history in the past, maybe too much, but everybody's visions and expectations are colored by their experiences in life, and what you think is possible, what you think is desirable, what you may have seen that's different from, our existing reality that we are immersed in and sometimes have a hard time seeing beyond. Our horizons are often limited by what's given or granted to us by the existing political, economic, social systems that we are in. So I guess I came into KBOO, mainly as an activist. I got involved in the forest protection movement, Earth First, Native American rights, sacred sites protection, the fishing rights on the Columbia River and elsewhere. And I was just threw myself into all that after I moved out west in 1985, came to Portland in the fall of that year. And like I said, got involved in in the Portland Greens. Anybody remember the Portland Greens? There actually used to be, there still is a green movement. That was kind of the very beginning of it. I actually went to like a national meeting in the Bay Area, and we had a nice little group here in Portland, and there was a really great vision of environmental, social sanity, and economic balance, radically transforming our social and economic and political relationships, a much more participatory ground level form of governance. And I got involved in that. The Alliance newspaper, which was an incredibly vital movement voice that ran for decades until the early 2000s, I believe. And it was a monthly newspaper that actually had, at its height, had four regional editions. Can you believe such a model even existed? We had editions in Olympia, Washington, known as the South Sound edition, Portland, Eugene, and Corvallis. I think the Eugene was the shortest lived. And it was kind of the emergence of the bioregional vision, Cascadia. We were one of the foremost proponents of that, popularizing it. And I got involved in the Earth First movement, forest protection. I sat in a tree in November of 1986 down in Brighton Bush. Then I got involved in KBOO. And KBOO was sort of just a natural extension of, my efforts to change the world, change the social world, and try to protect the forest, try to protect native rights, et cetera. And so I just threw myself into all these things. I was a lot younger. And KBOO, as I think I've said a number of times, at that time, without, social media, and I see social media as really, as they're constituted, a real step backward. I know they're vital in a lot of rural communities. A lot of social movements have made really good use of social media, but I think as a whole, if you look at it as a whole, they've been really separated and fractured us and siloed us more than we already were in the past. And at that time, they didn't exist in the mid to late 80s. And community radio had an extremely vital role in furthering social movements like Earth First, like the Central America Solidarity Movement, like ACT UP, like the racial equality movement at its time, which was, I know Coalition for Human Dignity was a big part of that. There was a move against the white nationalists at that time that had made inroads into Portland. And actually, Coalition for Human Dignity had their own program here for a while. Anyway, so yeah, it was a real multiplier of the you know, always a minority, are progressive slash liberal slash radical forces that are not always totally in alignment, but in the best of times are able to work together and leverage our forces for change. And we, we're a multiplier factor and got a lot of people out to demonstrations, got a lot of people involved directly in the political process. And, well, think of, you know, Joanne Hardesty, who had a program here on KBOO for years and years and years and years and years, and ended up getting elected to the, as a city commissioner, and, you know, making some positive changes. As I say, always difficult in the face of the existing structures and realities to make any kind of good change. And of course, our forest protection movement grew and grew and grew from the mid to late 80s into the 90s and ended up making significant changes in the forest practices. Never enough, and we've kind of slid backwards in the meantime. And native rights, definitely in the Pacific Northwest, were amplified by the voices on KBOO. I personally had a lot of the Columbia River activists and river chiefs, Wilbur Slokish and Johnny Jackson, people from a lot of other struggles that wouldn't have had a voice, frankly, if not for KBOO and the Alliance newspaper. And yeah, I think that was really valuable work at his time. I think that we certainly didn't have a strong enough vision of the kind of changes that needed to be made. We weren't able to unify as much as we needed to because, as I said, people were still siloed in those days and still split into, you know, the liberal and radical factions and, you know, different identity groups focusing maybe too exclusively on their issues without coming together in common struggle enough, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there's a lot of things that I feel like KBOO and our various movements accomplished and continue to accomplish, and there's a lot where we fall short. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave me? My vision for KBOO was always of a more of a force for social change. And I know that's not even the you know, the overwhelming vision of everybody at KBOO. People are focused on lots of different things. Some people are more focused strictly on cultural, on music, on things. And, you know, one of the big problems I've talked about and I see is that in our political culture, and I say our political culture, I guess, writ large, but specifically our political culture in terms of, you know, the relative small number of us who have a really different vision of society in terms of economic equality, economic justice, racial justice, cultural justice, and how to get there. And there's never been enough of a focus on political education, like Fred Hampton of the original Rainbow Coalition talked so much about at such a young age. It's just incredible. Political education in terms of what are the origins of the problem that we face? You know, how do we, what is it? Is it capitalism? What's the relationship between our historical racism and colonialism and the current systems we're in? What is the nature of the capitalist system? I think there's just so little agreement about those basic questions. And I think it's ever more essential that we actually try our best to actually come to some kind of common understanding, at least common understanding. And maybe that can lead to some kind of common vision for where we go. So yeah, that was not necessarily my vision back in the 80s and 90s when I was doing my first round of stuff on KBOO. If anybody remembers me from back then, I used to do actually a two-hour show and then a one-hour show. And then when I came back after a long sojourn in Italy, another story, I was able to get a program here again, this talk show. live on the air from 8 to 9 a.m. Wednesday Talk Radio is my slot. And, you know, I think I've learned some things since, but unfortunately things have gotten a lot worse since in terms of the degradation of the environment, specifically climate change. None of us really could see back then where things were headed, except for a very few people. Hats off to Patrick Mazza, who was one of the first people in our circles that was really talking directly. Hats off to Judy Berry of Earth First and the people who formed Rising Tide out of Earth First, which became its own strong movement and still exists as part of the mix of people fighting the fossil fuel industry, fighting for climate justice. But yeah, we didn't really get how desperately serious the situation was with the climate. It's only emerged really, you know, I'd say the past 10 to 15 years, you know, a growing consciousness within people already environmentally, socially, more environmentally, socially conscious and aware than, you know, let's say the average person. And so, yeah, can, you know, what is KBOO's role in social change? What do you think about that? What do you think, should KBOO be a leader? Should KBOO just, you know, reflect voices that are already out there and amplify them? If we do pretend to be a leader, how do we do it? Who is in the leadership anyway? Big questions. And as I say, desperately important questions. As you know, I focused so much on the climate because I see that as the principal threat that can't be kicked down the road. And not that anything can be kicked down the road, because you know, people are suffering from all the injustices on a daily basis. Who am I to say, in some ways, what is more important than another thing? Looks like we've already got three people on the lines, and I've thrown out a lot of stuff, maybe a little scattershot. I had a couple of the things, but let's just go to our first caller at 503-231-8187, and that would be Robbie. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to bring up that, you know, I really wish KBOO would kind of get programming like it used to have with Fight the Empire, and I forget what the other show was, but it was very, very, it was, and I, you know, and here's where I see KBOO doing is, in order to organize, you have to be able to share education, you have to be able to share this information and be able to get it to the people, and so those programs offered education, they offered information that was counter to what the mainstream narratives are. And I just see that disappearing. I don't see any really, I see a lot of talk of it all on the shows, but those shows were very critical of the Empire, to use the, you know, Fight the Empire's name, I guess. But I just really miss hearing stuff that you know, like community coming together, sharing stuff. Like I think I actually sent the link to you about Mexico banning chemtrails, and you know, you're very interested in climate action, climate justice, you know, environmental justice, and what I've been trying to, yeah, I know I've shared this with you multiple times, but the geoengineering, if you're concerned about the climate and the Earth's climate, you should be terrified of the geoengineering that our government is doing. And they literally are now announcing they're going to be blocking the sun. But this has already been a worldwide, on all the U.S. military bases, they have been running climate modification programs. And so me, as an environmental activist, I think this is important information that I don't think gets really, you know, pushed out into people that should be looking into this.
Well, I kind of wanted to more like a I don't know, what's the background to what the, you know, the difficulties or the differences or whatever that lead to, you know, whatever the programming choices might be. You know, my issue is that there isn't like a culture of political education either at KBOO itself or more broadly? You know, we're so scattered, people, you know, we just have this, it's sort of a laissez-faire sort of attitude. People, you know, people are just where they're at, and people think the way they think, and we don't really have a culture of really challenging each other and putting, you know, creating forums, creating situations where we're forced really to confront each other and talk to each other and have real discussions. Like,
correct.
Revolution. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Everybody has these cell phone computers in our pocket. Everybody goes into their own little hole. They keep digging whatever they believe, and then the confirmation bias of what they want to believe and what they assume is, they just continue going down that path, and we don't ever actually confront stuff. Like, I sent that article to you about Mexico banning chemtrails. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't actually read that, so we can't have a conversation on that right now. But that's really a, you know, that's a specific, you know, important, but a specific thing. I wanted to keep it a little bit more general.
That's fine, but I'm just using that as the example, as like, here's the culture where you didn't feel like it was necessary, even though I've called into the show multiple times bringing up the geoengineering stuff, and it's just kind of blown off and never actually looked into.
Well, you know, I guess my bias is that I have to go down that particular avenue and, you know, devote my time and look that up.
I would just like to see more programs that are informative like that, stuff that I'm interested in talking about, not just kind of rehashing an old stuff.
Right. Well, what I see
it's
is the
good
issue
to learn from it.
Right. Well, the issue is that Per Fagering, you know, died, so he's no longer doing that program. I'm not sure what are the other programs specifically you're talking about, so we can't talk about that.
It was like 5 years ago, and it was always
Teresa Mitchell, probably, is what you're talking about.
Teresa. It was Teresa.
Okay.
Yes.
So anyway,
what was her show called?
Press Watch.
Yes, and that was very critical of the media, and that was what I enjoy at KBOO, is hearing stuff that's not just echoed off of everything else. And I feel like what you bring up is
You're welcome to actually become a volunteer and go through the process and join the team. Everybody is welcome to do that, you know. So if that's one avenue to directly get involved, and I encourage people who really want to see, you know, different stuff or more stuff or other stuff or whatever on KBOO to actually get involved and put yourself out there. And other than that, people have to somehow get involved in the process at KBOO and talk to people here and get to people. And so that's really beyond that. I in terms of specifically, I think we have a couple of.
I appreciate everything you do very much, and get back to me. Look at that article. Get back to me because America is now telling everybody that they are blocking the sunlight to control climate.
I think
for the environment.
Okay, my feeling, thank you, Robbie. We're going to go on to a couple other callers. My feeling always was that the people who were talking about chemtrails didn't know what they were talking about. There was no evidence of like this massive program of chemtrails to, you know, whether it started since, you know, this was like, I'm talking 10, 15 years ago, you know, maybe there was plans for it, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I have to look more into it. My feeling was that there was no there at the time, whether, you know, but there are certainly have been discussions of geoengineering, of blocking the sun, and people, and Robbie's probably right, people are actively talking about it because the situation of climate change has gotten so much desperate. The main problem is we're pumping so much CO2 into the atmosphere that we're changing the climate such that people are thinking that we have to do these desperate measures to change that. That's the real problem. You know, the geoengineering as a response is a subsidiary problem and could be a great problem because, you know, messing with the large-scale ecosystems experimentally like that with no knowledge of the actual consequences is very dangerous. Okay, with that, we've got several calls. So Gabriel is up next. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, Gabriel? Are you with us? If not, we got to move on. We go back to Gabriel if you're not ready. April is up next. Are you ready, April? Okay. Well, I hope we don't have problems with the phones like we did last week. Sorry about that.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Santiago.
Okay, well, you're not even on the stack here. I don't know what happened to Gabriel, April, and Stevie Ray.
Okay.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, so I'm actually in the process of getting my own show right now. So I'm definitely taking that leap. But, you know, one of the criticisms that I've had of Cable over the last couple years is that most of the shows that have had, that have like any sort of political bent, they definitely lean more liberal. And if they are radical, it's definitely from more of like a Western, you know, like a white Western perspective, you know? So in the show that I'm putting together, it's going to be, it's going to definitely be like socialist, communist from a Chicano perspective, neo-colonial perspective, because I feel like that's something that's really missing. You know, a lot of the white activists who talk on the radio, they don't seem to understand. They want to bypass color, the experiences of black and brown folks, just particularly living in black and brown bodies. They want to bypass that in order to create a sort of like class solidarity, which is, I find, very problematic. But I think more important than that.
So who specifically are you talking about, other than Dave Rovics, who I had on one time?
I mean, I know Dave Rovics, but I've heard some others. His stuck out to me because he was like hilariously off base. But I mean, like, I've heard other ones over the course, you know, particularly on the Old Mole Variety Hour. As much as I enjoy a lot of their socialist, communist commentary, I don't feel like it goes far enough, you know. And I agree with you on the political education, which is where I'm definitely leaning, is more political education, understanding the difference between, like, socialism, communism, and capitalism, understanding the difference between reactionary, like, cultural revolutionaries versus socialist revolutionaries, cultural nationalism versus revolutionary nationalism, ideas like that. And, you know, and I have a lot of comrades from various stripes of not just like leftist organizing, but also different stripes of, socialist organizing, where we all understand, because I feel like that's another missing component. Like you said, you know, a lot of people who bring up Fred Hampton, you know, it's like they don't want to talk about Marxism. You know, what made his Rainbow Coalition work was the Marxist analysis, particularly Marxism, Leninism, Maoism. And there's a lot of leftist folks who even have a hard time talking about, you know, the idea of Maoism. You know, they want to, you know, they suffer from the no true, you know, the no true Scotsman critique, and that, because the socialism that China or Vietnam or Laos or Cuba have, that for some reason it doesn't fit like this ideal perfection, that somehow we don't have any real socialism, when in fact, you know, the idea that, you know, like, you know, like, capitalism didn't come in to play in one fell swoop. It was an evolution. And evolution, you know, isn't a linear process. It's more like a tree branching. And, you know, the powers that be trim the tree, if you will. So, I mean, point is that I agree with you on the political education. That's what I get really frustrated about with a lot of folks is, so, you know, like, there was a more Monday, the Monday talk show with Celeste and Cecil. They brought up Rukia Adams, I think is it, Rukia Adams, or I think that's her name. And anyway, they compared her to Martin Luther King, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, well, is that the Santa Clausified Martin Luther King, or the anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist Martin Luther King? Because we tend to, because of the way that we think about issues is we don't have that sort of understanding of the
I think
two.
You're throwing out a lot of references that people might not be getting, but that's okay. That's out of curiosity, so any idea when your program might be airing?
Well, I've got a couple more classes to go through, and then I'm getting my list of people together to start bringing on the show. So I would hope within the next month, I might be doing something with Old Mole Variety Hour, not sure yet, in the interim, because Thanksgiving's coming up and we get to talk about decolonization and jive turkeys of white supremacy. So, with a Thanksgiving coming up, but I'm hoping by December at the latest, because I'm not that far off.
All right. Well, great.
Yeah,
we look forward to that.
Right on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for, as always, for calling in. We've got a couple other callers. April, you're up next. You still with us, April? Oh, we lost April. Anyway, 503-231-8187. I maybe shouldn't have let Santiago go before I knew. Other people are still waiting online. We've got one, looks like we got still one caller up. Stevie Ray, are you with us?
I am.
Hello, go ahead. What do you got to say?
I absolutely love KBOO, and let's not forget all the music shows that y'all do and how anarchistic musical lyrics can be. And I agree with the previous caller, and the one before is the reason why I'm calling. Volunteering with KBOO is heck of fun. If you're hearing this now and you haven't tried it out, go do. The previous caller was referring to Teresa Mitchell's show Press Watch, and I had to call in to say that on the via the platform called YouTube on the interwebs is a show called This Is Now, A Bridge to a Better World. For anyone who misses Teresa Mitchell, her show is done on the YouTube platform, and she sits with Ani, and that's really fun. And I also like lately that if I miss one of my shows, listening to it live on KBOO, they've been posting the shows as podcasts. So if you're not into the YouTube platform or whatnot, you can go on one of your podcast providers and get your KBOO shows. You know, like if you're on a bike ride and you don't get home as soon as you thought you were because you just want to look around instead of being rush.
Well, in fact, on KBOO.fm, they all exist as podcasts there.
Yeah. So you guys all, that reminds me, you have your very own app, right? Which is different from like a Google podcast. So that makes it even easier.
Indeed. And of course, I am so far outside of that app world, so to speak, that I have no idea about. And I should. I'm a KBOO host after all. But yes, we do have our own app, KBOO. And in fact, it says, how can people donate here in our fall pledge drive, membership drive? You can go to kbo.fm/give, and you go to our mobile app. Click donate in the mobile app. So people who know about mobile apps can easily find it without any trouble whatsoever. You could also text KBOO to 44321. I just wanted
to
say that.
And in honor of the Teresa Mitchell reference, we like to say that let's take your hourly wage and do that as a monthly contribution. So say you're only making $5 an hour, that's $5 one time, $5 a month. But if you're making $20 an hour, you could probably afford to do $20 a month. And some of the things you can get in exchange, like those hoodies or banger, I'm just saying. Love y'all. We'll talk later.
Well, thank you. Well, that feels like old time, like when we used to have the membership drive all set up here in our back studio with the people on the phones waiting for your phone calls and the people doing pitches like Stevie Ray just did. That was so cool. Thank you. Anyway, so yes, we're looking for people to support us during our fall membership drive, which is going until October 28th. But don't wait until the last minute, just like you shouldn't wait until the last minute to call my show at 503-231-8187. Our on-air goal is $55,000. We're getting there pretty well, but we can't slack off now. We need you to step up and become a new member. Have you ever become a member of KBOO? If not, please think about it. 80% of our funding does come from our members, and less than 10% of our listeners are members of KBOO. So let's get, if we can get that up to 10%, just think of how more vibrant we can be and how more we can fulfill our values and goals and visions and all that. So go to kbo.fm/give or text KBO to 44321. And it's just so important. We're 55 years old this year. We're the oldest, they say one of the oldest here on our guide for reaching out to you. But I think we're actually the oldest, well, oldest independent community radio station, non-Pacifica. I believe Crab up in Seattle was the oldest, and they are sadly no longer with us. And we are one of the oldest media institutions in Portland. Now, that's kind of scary. Yeah, we've trained thousands of people in how to make radio all for free thanks to the support we receive from our members. We are independent, community-supported, and largely volunteer-powered. Looks like we've got some more callers, so I will be quiet right now, and let's see who we're going to go to. Well, we're talking about, you know, this is our membership drive. We're talking about KBOO. We're talking about what is community radio? What is community radio's role to you? You know, what do you want to see us do more of, better of? What are we doing well? We've had a couple people express a little bit of fondness, maybe regret for a couple past shows. Teresa Mitchell's show, Press Watch, which, as Stevie Ray pointed out, is on YouTube. This is now a bridge to a better world. And thank you for that. And Per Fagrein, who sadly passed away earlier this year and used to do Fight the Empire. Okay, looks like we got Nick up. Go ahead, Nick, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi. You're on the air. Lost your train of thought, I see, but that's okay. We're talking about KBOO. You want to say something about KBOO?
I used to intern there like 6-7 years ago, I think.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, if you don't have anything else to say, I think we'll move on, though.
Oh, okay.
All right. But thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to April. Nick was just a little tongue-tied there. I guess I could have been more patient, but hard to have a silence on the air. April, are you up?
I am.
Hi.
Hi. So I tuned into the start of your show, and I had called, and I got another call, so I only heard the first caller, but you guys brought up some wonderful points. So there are a lot of things I miss about KBOO. And you were talking about sort of the community. Mm-hmm. And I know that I had several friends, and my son were all volunteers there. And so I used to be at KBOO a lot. And there was like a row of computers in one little small room, which is now I think has a file cabinet in it when I took the tour. And there was, like, so much camaraderie going on there. And I think there was more a focus of, like, if there was an important issue going on in the community or something, everybody was addressing it somehow, or most of the shows were. And I think that's really important. And I think a lot of it is probably, you know, couldn't be helped. It's probably partly because of COVID, and people don't even come into the station anymore to do their show, at least not everybody does. But I really do miss the, I think by having different show hosts address different aspects of the same thing, sometimes even different talk shows, because there were like more talk shows and more activist talk shows, a lot more. You would hear a lot more of people in the community discussing the issue, and it was easier, not not just easier, but like more, you knew why you wanted to get involved. And I really miss that.
Okay. Yeah, there was kind of, I think it's true there was in some ways more of esprit de corps at one time. And, you know, COVID really did a number on the station. And I think the social media.
And society too.
What's that?
And society too.
It's true.
But I think we need that more than ever. And so I guess what I would like to see for the future is that I know KBOO is slowly reopening. I would like to see maybe, I don't know, something like maybe the board would address the issue of, you know, doing more stuff with all the members and fostering more camaraderie and people like back at the station. And I think stuff like that would really come through on the air and be very helpful.
Right on. And another thing that kind of slowly... we used to do more public events, and it was like also a way... God, I remember when I actually introduced Chris Hedges at a large event in Portland. And, you know, we used to host, like, regularly people like Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, you name it. Lots of really, and those are all three men I know, three white men.
Yeah.
And so that's not the only ones we have sponsored. We've sponsored a wide variety. And my mind is just blanking on others. And lots of different events. We're talking about bringing back the Boo Ball, which is kind of interesting, the big Halloween event. We were kind of the pioneer Halloween, the biggest Halloween event in town for many, many years.
Yeah, I remember when I was taking a tour, Nate said that they would actually even use the building as sort of a haunted maze. That's an idea, anyway.
Oh, there's an idea.
Sounded good to me.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to just like sort of bemoan and you know, whatever, but, you know, there used to be, you know, we used to be open 9 to 5 and have a person on the front desk, and, you know, there were issues with it. People would come in and, you know, occasionally create problems and maybe make some people feel unsafe, but there was a much more openness with the community. And that I really miss that. And I know we're trying to address a lot of these things. I know, you know, there's legitimate fears still that COVID is still around. I know that we don't want our people to get sick. And but anyway, anything else before we go on to Jeff?
Yeah, the one thing I really miss that actually my friend used to put together was the community calendar.
Ah, yes, the
community
calendar.
Yeah, I mean,
calendar.
I during the late 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, I was a real community activist, and I think that KBOO enabled me to do that a lot by giving me all the information.
Yes, yes, yes. That's been I know we brought it back in an online form for a while, and there's like, you know, a lot of the longtime staff people who were involved in those times you said are gone, and there's a little bit of, you know, institutional memory lapse.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, yeah, there's just some discontinuity. So yeah, we just gotta, you know, keep being involved and just everybody try to come together, talk to each other.
Yes, that would be very good. I hope to hear that happen.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, April.
Thank you.
And again, a lot of it has to do with creating forums. Again, I just want to really, because we didn't do this in the old, you know, it wasn't all, you know, wine and roses or whatever the phrase is. We didn't have much internal, like, political discussions. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, this basically what I'm saying is the situation is, if it was urgent, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, it's always urgent. Certain communities always face death by police, slow or fast death by you name it, the injustices of the system, the racial injustices, the economic injustices. But the reality is that we're in biosphere breakdown. So that just can't be put off in any shape or form. We're really under the gun, and we have to come to terms with what is the cause and how can we address it. And you can't put aside historic racial and economic injustices. you know, we have to include, you know, or elevate those voices and to leadership positions. But, you know, leadership also means that people are actually including everybody and have a thorough and strong analysis, you know. We got a couple more, one more call, or at least 503-231-8187. I just would remind people we are in our fall membership drive. Please support KBOO. Whatever, you know, you want to see KBOO direction go in, the only way we're going to keep going is if we keep our listener-sponsored membership model strong, intact, thriving, and people get involved. People get involved by becoming members. If you're a member, then add your voice to whatever level. There's committees to get involved in. There is all kinds of on-air and off-air volunteer roles. You could be on the front desk, you know, as we open up more. That's an important role. But talk to Nate, our volunteer coordinator, he'll get you hooked up. But right now we're asking people to go to kbo.fm/give, go to your KBOO mobile app and click donate, text the word letters KBOO to 44321, or send a check to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland 97214. All right, let's see what Jeff has to say, if you've been patient and stuck with us. Are you still there, Jeff?
I am, and thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say that first I need to paraphrase Groucho Marx when I say I would never join a club that would have me as a member. That being said, I believe that KBOO has always represented a voice for the voiceless. And this is an imperative thing in a modern world where every single media outlet has retreated and retrenched and hidden behind high walls. And COVID and its repercussions have led to this kind of creeping distancing, even at KBOO, which is unfortunate, but is the simple fact. Nevertheless, I did want to say, if you'll permit me, that I believe that geoengineering is necessary regardless of the source. The source, I know, the source is us, and we started this. But geoengineering makes good sense, not in the sense that a previous caller spoke of, but we must take action to remediate what we have already done and are continuing to do. We've got to stop doing what we've continued to do, but we have every responsibility to step up to the plate and attempt to ameliorate the damage already done.
Well, as many listeners have said over the years, is planting trees is a form of, quote, geoengineering. It's a natural form of geoengineering. Other ways of taking carbon out of the atmosphere naturally. But, of course, the whole system is geared towards making a profit off of our natural ecosystems and therefore disrupting them. And so that is the primary contradiction. And the driver of that is an economic form of economics called capitalism, which creates everything into a commodity and everybody into a commodity. And we got to do away with it.
I agree completely. And that being said, the reason that much of this is not being done is because of that profit motive. All of the good things that you and I would like to see happen on this marvelous, singular planet cannot happen if no one is making a profit. And that is an unfortunate reality. And I thank you for your time, and I hope that people will sign up. And rather than just waxing nostalgic about a KBOO that was, let's move forward and make a KBOO that will be.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. That's good. Excellent words. I, you know, it's hard for people who've been around as long as I have, for better or worse. I don't know. Let's not get any comments on that right now. But you tend to see things in the context of where things were But yeah, we are moving forward, and let's bring all the voices to bear and create the kind of KBOO that we want now and moving into the future. And but again, once again, I think we need to really create a culture of political education amongst ourselves. I remember I tried to get all the talk show hosts. This is back in the when I first came back in the 2010s, when I started doing a talk show, and I wanted to get all the talk show hosts together to talk to each other. And anyway, it didn't go very far. That's okay. We do need to talk to each other, all of us, public affairs producers at KBOO, staff and volunteers and members and listeners together. We need to create events. I always wanted to create an event that I never did, where I would like have a public event after my show and like open it up to like general discussion of whatever I talked about or whatever people want to talk about. We need, you know, we need like live talk shows, you know, in the community that are not, you know, it could be broadcast too. You know, I think that'd be really cool. I think where, but looks like we got another caller. I'll share that vision in a future show. Let's see what Bill has to say in the last couple minutes we got. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Paul. How you doing? I'm glad that you actually, you know, when they, you know, when my phone call, you know, was listening to what you were saying, actually, you hit it right on the head. Some of your shows on KBOO are so uber left-leaning that when a person tries to call in, we don't even make it past the screening process. And when a guy from the north side of Chicago, who is a unrepentant Bernie Sanders person, when I don't make the grade, I think, you know, maybe KBOO really doesn't speak for me.
Wait a second. What do you mean screening? Yeah. What do you mean you don't make it past the screening?
Oh, are you kidding me? I tried to call into, I believe it was Abe and Tracy Simmons' show yesterday. I'll name names. You know, I'm a back east guy, you know, and I engaged with one of the screeners, you know, and it was, I believe, the subject was just, you know, with 110 and all of the theft. And I mean, within 5 minutes, the show went from the theft that people are actually, you know, doing here in Portland, why all the stores are leaving. And within 5 minutes, it went to corporate wage theft, why everybody, I mean, they were basically, I don't want to say making it okay to steal, making it okay to engage in certain behaviors. But I mean, I just don't understand. Why.
Okay, well, I didn't listen to that show, so I can't comment on that.
Sure, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. But, so yeah, I don't know about Uber left. I mean, that's kind of a generalization.
Well,
I don't know where you're
exactly. Yeah. Well, and then again, Paul, you hit it right on the head again. You need more informational based shows, more shows based on concepts than just, you know, someone's belief system.
Okay.
Seriously, when you get back to that, you will have a wider variety of folks who will call in on your show. And actually, the discussion and the discourse should improve 100%.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We've had an interesting, the very few times I've actually opened up to actually talking about KBOO itself, which is always fraught with, you know, who knows what other KBOO people think about that. But, you know, there it is. I think it's important. But we're out of time. And I do thank everybody who called up. And really appreciate your support. Go to kbo.fm/give and give us your love and support. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
The center cannot hold. This is somebody else's dream. Out of the nighttime, lifelines glow in the dark. Order falls apart.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
K. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.